As we begin chapter 6 of Matthew, as we continue through this book in my Heart of the Matter series, this is called Living a Lie or The Peril of Play Acting. Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Skipping down now to verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret place will reward you openly. Now, back in the 5th chapter, in the 17th verse, Jesus is talking about the law. And he's talking about these religious leaders, or to these religious leaders, and kind of where they were coming from. He says, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. Having given that opening and introductory statement about the purpose of God's law, he then goes on to interpret the law, and of course, as we have been seeing in these last several weeks, gives us new guidelines. He points out primarily that it's not so much a matter of what you do on the outside that counts. It's what you are on the inside. And the Pharisees, who were very religious and into all kinds of ceremonies, well, they had it going on the outside, but something was wrong on the inside, which caused Jesus to say, except your righteousness, there in verse 20 of chapter 5, exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. That's what God is concerned with. That's what Jesus has been pointing out, and he continues to point out. What the Lord is talking about this morning, of course, is so important for us to hear in our text, because, you know what? There's the possibility, the longer that we're believers, to become, well, steeped in religiosity. To become like the Pharisees. To concern ourselves primarily with the outward activity when we come to church. When we're cruising around day to day in our family, we run the risk, there's a danger of just going through the motions, you see. Of moving into the place where Christ is a reality in your life, to just moving into what many people talk about. You hear it said frequently that being that person who is a hypocrite. You see, hypocrisy is something that's a danger for us as believers. And that's what Jesus is addressing this morning. And he talks about three areas. He talks about giving, he talks about praying, and he talks about fasting. Now, these three areas have to do with spiritual relationships. Giving, of course, has to do with your relationship to others. How your faith in the Lord expresses itself in your relationship to others. Praying has to do with your relationship to God. As you pray, you make contact with God. You have communion and fellowship with Him. And then fasting, well, that has to do with your relationship to yourself and the control of yourself. So these all have to do with relationships. And the Lord Jesus is trying to tell us that be careful that you don't become religious and remove yourself from the priority and the importance of relations. That's why he begins in verse 1 when he says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds, or King James, you give your alms before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. What's Jesus saying to us this morning? Hey, be careful, precious saints. You see, to us, his children, these are words of caution. Words of warning. Don't do your religious acts before people to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward in heaven. See, the contrast here is you can do what you do in terms of religious matters in order that other people might see you and to impress them. Or you can do what you do because it's real and genuine as unto the Lord and for the purpose of pleasing your Father in heaven. You see, he's warning against the earlier situation where you do it to be seen of men. He says, if you do it to be seen of men, whatever you do, be it giving, be it praying, be it fasting, then you have your reward when men see it. You see, the Lord warns us about being a hypocrite, or the word means to put on a mask. In those days, they didn't have all the makeup artists and technology that we have in this day. In fact, I watched How It Was Made, or How It Is Made. Have you ever watched that? You know, some of you maybe have a little bit of time on your hands. But I love to see how things are made. I watched it the other day because I wanted to know how they made Cheetos. And they were like showing it. And the part I wanted to know about is I know they're fried. I know how they put them in the tumbler and the cheese goes on them. I know all that stuff. The part I really wanted to see, I mean, I know the basics of dough because I grew up in the bakery, but as a baker, the part I really wanted to see was the part where it first came out and went into the fryer to see what makes them the shape, the kind of they are and how it was made. And they went to that part and they said, we can't show it. It's patented. It's a secret that they won't let us see. At that point, I wanted to bust the TV. I refrained. I was upset. But I watched this show and they were telling how and showing how they made a person, this young woman, age. And they showed all the things that they make this mold of their face, and she puts this plaster on, then they pull it off and they put something in that and release it, and then they make that into a product that actually they can glue on the face, and they show how they glued it around the eyes and the whole deal, and they showed how they, you know, marked it and kind of put the makeup in it and colored it and everything, and I'm sitting there going, so that's what's happening to me. Because I'm looking in the mirror going, hey, I see some of that stuff they're talking about. But you see the extent that they go to put the mask on. The Lord is warning us here about putting a mask on and playing the part as actors in the church. You see, that's what he does here. He introduces us to a character called a hypocrite, which means actor. Like Matt Damon or Brad Pitt or Sylvester Stallone, if you're a little older. Or Paul Newman, if you're a little older. Or if you're a little older than that, I don't know. I'll have to get some advice. You see, these guys take on a character. They move into the part. They get the script. They work it out. They get it down till they act so convincingly that you're sitting there on the edge of your chair going, oh, oh, are they going to die? And when they get shot, you go, oh! Because they look like they're dead. I mean, everything's so authentic, and they've worked themselves into the part to such a degree, at times they get the idea that they really are the person. You see, that's the warning that God is issuing to us this morning. When he says, don't be like the hypocrites. And you sound a trumpet when you give in the synagogues and in the streets to be seen by men. There's the danger, in other words, Jesus is saying, is with a desire to be spiritual, to be godly, to move into a place to where it's just external and you're acting and very convincing. Some perhaps even in this congregation, Oscar winning performances. In this area of giving, these men love to be on stage. Religious pretenders, if you would. Heard about a young lady who wrote this note to her ex-fiancé whose heart she had broken a year earlier. It said, "Dear John, I've been unable to sleep since we broke off our engagement. It has shattered me. I cannot live any longer without you. Won't you forgive and forget? Your absence is breaking my heart. I was a fool to leave you. Nobody can take your place. I love you so much. Please call soon. I await anxiously your telephone call to hear your voice." Signed, Susie. P.S., she added, "Congratulations on winning the $6 million lottery." Sounded pretty good, didn't it, initially? But she was acting. And when it comes to giving, people can put on an act. Now, I want you to note that he says, when you give, not if you give. What are the evidences that a man or a woman is saved, to me, is their giving. Not simply, now, some of you right now are going, "Oh, he's going to talk about the money stuff." No, I'm not. I'm talking about just your nature. Giving of your time, your energy, yourself. You see, to help someone, to care for someone, to put someone before yourself. You see, that's evidence of salvation. We see that in the scriptures. You see, the prodigal son, when he went to his father before his pig pen experience. When he came to himself, he went to his father and said, "Father, give me." How many dads know that with their kids? Yeah. Give me, give me, give me. You know, something's really happened in their heart when they said, when they say, "Here, let me give you, let me help you, let me do for you." Many of us perhaps still waiting for that day. But we look and we see in the scriptures over and over a story of Zacchaeus. You remember him, the short guy, the, you know, challenged guy as far as his height goes. And he crawled up in a tree to see Jesus. You know the story. Jesus, spotting him in that tree, decided to have an appointment with old Zacchaeus. He said, "Zacchaeus, I want you to come down. We're going to your house today. I'm going to have some lunch. We're doing lunch at your place." Zacchaeus, thrilled, he went in. And we have no idea what the dialogue was behind the closed doors with Zacchaeus and Jesus in the house. Scripture doesn't record that for us. I would love to have been a fly on the wall listening to that conversation. But what we know is that conversation, that meeting radically changed these men, because when Zacchaeus, or this man rather, when Zacchaeus came out, He was not the same man who was ripping people off, taking taxes from them and involved in that stuff. When he came out of that meeting with the Lord, he said, "Lord, the half of my goods I bestow to the poor." As soon as he came out of that meeting. And Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house." What was the change? What was the mark? What was one of the signs? You see, he became a man who no longer was taking from people, but giving to people. I believe that's, of course, perfectly reflecting the heart of the Father, who so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One key to misery in your life, if you want to be a miserable person, be one that takes in and doesn't give out. Just try and get all you can. Hold on to it. And you know what? You're guaranteed to have a miserable life. You know, over in Israel, there's the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee has fresh water flowing and has life in it. Because there's an inlet and there's an outlet. The Dead Sea, much like the Salton Sea. Not much life in it. Very salty, very funky kind of body of water. And the reason for that, kind of stinky. And the reason for that is because there's only an inflow and there's no outlet. If God has given us and things and blessed us, then He's blessed us for the purpose of making us a blessing to others. And if you're living your life saying, "What do I get? What do I get?" Listen, if you're in your marriage saying, "Well, what do I get?" That's a key, that's a sure prescription for a miserable marriage. It's a, "What can I give? What can I do?" You see, when you do your charitable deed, the Lord assuming that you're going to give. Be careful that you don't become an actor. And do it in such a way as to bring honor and glory to yourself. You trumpet, it says here. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about a thing where, now some say there was that the places where they gave, there was this kind of trumpet shaped box and that you put the money in. And what some of these guys would do is they, when they wanted to be seen for their generosity or recognized by men, you see, publicly, they would take, and because this thing was made out of brass, they would throw their money in such a way that it, and they didn't have, you know, bills in that day. They had all, you know, hard money. It was gold or silver or something. And they would throw it in that trumpet-shaped thing and that, all the clanging and the noise. And everybody would know, "Wow, that was a lot. Did you hear all that?" They would throw it in just a way to get that recognition for what they gave. There is something in man. We want to perform to man. "Hey, do you know what I gave?" And we'll talk about our time. We'll talk about our energy. We'll talk about our money. There are places where you can actually get a plaque if you get a certain... some churches have taken advantage of this. You can actually get your name in a crystal little block somewhere. If you give a certain amount of money and you can get in the big club and you contribute this, and we'll put your name on the Lifetimers Club or list or something. And the church has actually bought into this. Jesus is saying that ought not to be the way it is. Listen, if you got your name somewhere for giving something, if it's in a plaque or if it's on a roster somewhere because you gave to the Lord in some way, guess what? Enjoy it. How's that? You say, well, Jesus is saying, that's your reward. If that's all you want, just something from men, enjoy it. You've got it. It'd be much better to have something from me because that lasts eternally. But what you invest in, you see, if you've got the marquee and all, then that's it, man. You've got your reward. You've blown the horn. You see, and Jesus is saying, hey, it's acting. You do it if you're doing it simply to be seen. You see, why do you give? Why do you do what you do? Do you give in order that people see you do it? Do you do what you do in order to brag? You see, it's your motive that God is concerned with. And when it comes to giving, don't make a big deal out of it. Don't make a noise about it. Give. Just quietly. That's why we take the offering during the worship service. That's why we don't have the plates, you know, that everybody can see what you're putting in. Wow, did you see what he just put in? That was a $100 bill going by. Whoa. And plus, I don't want to tempt you either. You know, I said, somebody goes, whoa, $100 bill. I mean, you wouldn't do that in church, maybe, but who knows? Some of you may struggle there. But you know, you don't want to give to be seen. And there's a thing when the offering's going by. Maybe you already gave this week. Maybe, you know, maybe you gave to some other ministry or something. And so the offering thing comes by. But, oh, I want to look like I'm giving something. So I got this dollar in my pocket. Let me fold it up so nobody can see the numbers. Now put it in. And that looks like I'm giving. See, we're concerned with what it looks like. God is saying, stop that. You know what? It's an act of worship. You give to the Lord because you love the Lord. Giving is not God's way of raising funds. It's God's way of raising children. And He knows that we're selfish by nature, so He gives us opportunity to show our appreciation of Him and what He's done for us, for His provision and faithfulness to us. So we give just saying, Lord, I love You. And you know what? Don't give grudgingly. Man, if you're giving and you get that money, okay, I got my tenth, get it out. Okay, oh boy, I could have gone to McDonald's. I could have bought, you know, a new fishing reel. I could have gone on that vacation, had a little more money. Tomorrow's Memorial Day. We're off on Monday. We could have gone this place or that place. Could have gone to Disneyland. But I gave. You know what God says? Keep it. Keep it. I say keep it. You know why? Because God doesn't need our money. He's always been faithful to provide for us. If you can't give, the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. In the Greek, that word in Corinthians means a hilarious giver. That means, hey Lord, this is, man, I love You here. I just want to give this to You because you know what? You've so blessed me. You give it cheerfully. You give it hilariously. Not so, oh, I've got to help the cause out. You know, they're building a building over there. Stop it. You know what? Give because you love Jesus. That's what's being said here. It's the motive of your heart. Don't give to be seen or recognized by men. To seen or recognized by men. There's a mayor during the Great Depression of New York City by the name of LaGuardia. Before he became mayor, he served for a time as a police court judge. And one cold winter's day, they brought a man to him who was charged with stealing a loaf of bread. As the police court judge, LaGuardia asked the young man, he says, are you guilty? The man said, yes, I am. I took bread because my family was starving. I had no money to buy food. LaGuardia said, well, sir, I have to punish you. The law makes no exceptions. I fine you $10. He brought down his gavel and the man looked at him and said, Your Honor, I have no money for the fine. You may just as well throw me in jail. To which LaGuardia said, Sir, I wasn't finished. You interrupted. And he pulled out of his wallet $10 and he handed it to the bailiff. And he said, Here's the money for your fine. And then he said to the bailiff, Now give it back to me. He took back the $10, put it in a hat. He handed the hat to the bailiff and said, I'm going to suspend the sentence and I'm going to fine everyone in the courtroom 50 cents for living in a town where a man has to steal bread in order to eat. You see, that's the kind of giving. It's sad when, you know, ministering the gospel. I want to share the Lord with this person. But they're hungry. And you say, well, I got a Bible for you, but well, I don't have any bread. Give them bread first and then talk to them about the Bible. If it's within our means to do good, to help those that are needy, we ought to help them, you see. We need to be wise again in the giving. That man left the courtroom that day with $47.50. You see, that's the attitude that God wants us to have when it comes to giving. Then he moves on here from giving to praying. He says here, when you pray, in verse 6, go into your room. When you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. When it comes to giving, don't make a noise about it. Do it in secret. When it comes to praying, don't perform. He talks about the Pharisees who are hypocrites, who walk out in the street corners and they lift up their hands and they pray flowery, long, flowing, beautiful prayers. But they posture themselves and they wait, these actors, if you would, these religious leaders, for everybody to be. They want a place that's right there out in front of everybody so that when they raise their hands to pray, everybody will go, wow, that is prayer. Powerful. Potent. And then long. He must really be close to God. When they do that, the Lord says, great. There's your reward. You see, you're interested in performance and what you look like on the outside. We can do that in church, can't we? What do I look like on the outside? I've seen it. People pull into the parking lot yelling and screaming at each other. They open up the doors of the car, run into a brother and sister at the church. Hey, praise the Lord, how you doing? Are you schizophrenic? Your kids certainly think so when you two of you were yelling and screaming at each other on the way to church. Mom and Dad are schizophrenic. That's what that is. I've made a diagnosis. They're yelling and screaming and cranky and grumpy, and then they walk into the church, and as soon as they get, like, where somebody sees them, and they, hallelujah, praise the Lord, he puts his arm around her, she puts his arm around him. Yeah, everything's wonderful. See, in our desire to be spiritual, we need to be careful that we don't perform. And prayer is one of those things where you can perform. Again, he doesn't say when you pray, or if you pray, he says when you pray. He assumes that you're going to pray. When we pray, we're to do it secretly. Don't be like the actor, you see, putting on a show, staging it so everybody will hear and see. They love to pray in the synagogues, he says, and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Now, that's a real risk. Especially when you get into a group thing. Or have you ever been one of those people that, you know, especially single guys can get into this. You realize that the single sisters are impressed by a man. I don't know if you've realized this, but if you haven't, let me let you in on something. The single sisters as well as the married sisters are impressed when a guy is prayerful. When you're always the guy saying, well, let's pray. Let's pray. Oh, okay, let's pray about that. And then you pray, and of course, you know, when you pray and you're so quick to pray, the single sisters go, oh, he's so godly. And then if in your prayer it's powerful, and if you quote a couple of scriptures in your prayer while you're praying, wow. That really goes a long way. The single sisters go, wow, not only is he a man of powerful prayer, but he preaches the word in his prayer. Wow, what a hunk that is. A holy hunk. Maybe not that handsome, but very holy. We can get into a mode to where when we pray in a group, have you ever prayed in a group and you're listening? You're supposed to be agreeing with the person and really in tune to what they're saying and praying along with them. That's, by the way, the purpose of group prayer. You see, to agree with them. But have you ever found yourself in prayer? I have to admit to you, I found myself there. Where you're listening, you're going, that's good, but I need to top that. Now, how can I beat that up? See, talked about this, but I got to get deeper, heavier, more spiritual, something to overshadow that. You ever been there? Maybe you won't admit it. But you see, we can get into the performance prayers. And you know how you're in a performance prayer? You know how you can tell if you are? Hey, one of the ways you can tell is the Lord says, don't do it to impress people. But how do you pray when you're in secret, man? He's not saying don't pray publicly here. He's saying, though, when you pray secretly, that's the reality. When you close yourself into your closet, how do you pray? I don't know about you, but I struggle. Have you ever like closed yourself in the closet or somewhere and pray and you're like there in the closet praying and suddenly, you know, you're going, oh Lord, I just pray you'd help me. And maybe you didn't close your eyes, which can be a real problem for somebody with ADD. Because next thing you know, you're looking, you're going, I haven't seen that shirt for a long time. That looks like a good shirt for Sunday morning service. Why haven't I worn that lately? Oh, wait, I'm praying. That's right, I'm praying. Oh, Lord, just help me with it. Just see, hey, that's where those brown shoes went. I didn't know they were back underneath that. I need those. I got to remember. Let me pull those out right now. Anyhow, Lord, and, you know, you ever find yourself? Maybe it's just me. But you see, the battle is in secret, isn't it? The reality is what you are in your prayer life is not what you are in a group or before people. What your prayer life is really like, the battle, the struggle must be won in the closet. When you pray in secret. Let me ask you, do you have a place you pray? Amazing thing about prayer, man, is it can transform anything. Some of you may have a closet you can pray in where you won't get distracted by what it looks like or what's in there. Some of you may not have a closet. It may be the bathroom. Moms, I know it can be the bathroom sometimes. Just go in there and close the door and you need to pray. It can be the car. A car can be turned into a cathedral as you pray and seek the Lord. But we ought to have a place where we meet with God. And we ought to regularly meet with God and seek the Lord in prayer. And you see, what we are in secret before the Lord is what we are in reality. The question is what's your prayer life like in secret? How much time is spent, truly? Don't tell me what I want to hear. You know, what's the reality of your prayer life before God? You're saying, well, I could do better. Then you know what? Make plans. Because it's not just going to happen. It's going to be a battle. And you need to make a plan. Don't pray like the hypocrites. Don't pray vain repetition. Vain repetition. I remember when I was a kid, I used to go over I'd go over to my uncle's house and they would pray. And man, I'll tell you, I never heard it. I mean, there were four of them in the family, and they had this prayer down. Talk about vain repetition. I mean, and I'm not saying it has to be vain repetition, but I think it was for them because they said, "Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen." I mean, it was so quick. I thought it was a commercial. I mean, I don't know that they even knew what they said, but every time we had a meal, they prayed exactly the same prayer. I'm not saying those words can't have meaning, but is it from your heart? Because just repetition for repetition's sake, God says, that's the way the heathen pray. You know, that's the way the hypocrites pray. We shouldn't be engaged and involved in that. Let your prayers be in secret. Let them be with sincerity from the heart, and let them be simple. Next week, we'll look at the model prayer here that I kind of skipped over today. And we're going to find out how to pray, because it's so important. There's so much power in prayer. And so we're supposed to be those who are praying sincerely and praying in secret, you see, and let that be the reality, and praying simply. And then finally, we have fasting here. When you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. There it is. The old actor comes on stage again. Now, how's a hypocrite fast? Well, he's acting. He's got this sad countenance. He disfigures his faith. That he may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. You see, he has this fasting look. Have you ever met somebody like that? You know, you invite somebody out to lunch, and they go to lunch with you, and you kind of notice when they get in the car, how you doing? Where do you want to go eat? Oh, I don't care. So you get there, and you order on the menu, and you go, so what are you going to have? Nothing. Why? Well, I'm fasting. They have that look like they're fasting. Really smells good, though, but I'm just denying myself for Jesus. Why'd you go to lunch with me then? I mean, what really? If you're fasting, here's the idea of fasting. Understand, fasting is something that you don't eat physically, that you might replace that time that you would eat normally with a time in the Word or in prayer. That's why you'll see prayer and fasting linked frequently in the Word. So if you are fasting, you shouldn't be going to lunch with me. Because now you're just tempting yourself and you're putting on a show. Why are you putting on a show? I didn't need to know. And sometimes while I'm fasting, that God will give me that promotion and more money because we have certain needs that we have as a family. I just wish there was a way to get a little more money. We only need about $1,000. And you know, and they start talking and they have the look and everything, and you start feeling bad for them. And next thing you know, you want to write them the check, you know, but they have that fasting kind of, you know, I'm being holy look on their face. The Lord says, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't act. When you fast, he says, man, anoint your head, wash your face. Don't look like you're fasting, hair all messed up, you know, and don't appear to men as you're fasting, but to your Father who is in secret, in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Whether it's giving, whether it's praying, whether it's fasting, you know what? Whatever God has called us to, and he's called us to do these things, we need to do them not to be seen by men outwardly, but to be set right in our hearts, in tune to the Lord spiritually. You see, that's the key. Do what you do in secret. No fanfare, not looking for the applause and the glory of men, but only for the glory of God. And you know what? God knows what's in your heart. Other people don't need to know. And God, who sees, it's a secret between you and Him. And guess what? He's going to take care of it. And He's going to reward you for all to see. Stop acting. Heed the warning this morning. It's not about ceremony and religiosity. It's not what I appear like before you that counts, you see. It's what I am in reality before my Heavenly Father. And He's not impressed, though you may be. Don't get caught up in hypocrisy. A lot of accusation comes our way, doesn't it? Well, there are too many hypocrites in the church. Well, you know what? God doesn't like hypocrisy either. And if you're living in hypocrisy this morning, the reality is God wants to change that and for you to step out of the acting profession and take action in your life. Ask Him to restore that first love and to remove just the kind of deadness inside and fill you afresh with His Spirit and His life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word and for the ministry of Your Holy Spirit again, Lord, to speak to our hearts. And Lord, the warning this morning about just being Christians externally, just being those who cruise around and do what we do here in the church, that others may see, that they may be impressed with how holy, how wonderful, how faithful we are, Lord, and we're not really concerned about You. Lord, I pray that that would not be the case in any of our lives. And this morning, to the extent that that is true, that we are acting and not relating to You, not worshiping You, not honest before You, Lord, forgive us and cleanse us of our sin. And Lord, may we get back to that place where the fire of Your Spirit is burning in our hearts once again, and the reality of our love for You would be brought into center again, Lord, that we would be those ignited passionately, Lord, to know You and to love You and to live our lives for You. Lord, help us to be in those secret places, in those quiet times, in tune to what Your Spirit would say to us. God, keep us away from the hypocrisy and the acting that we fall into so easily, trying to impress others and forgetting You, Lord, who sees all. Thank You, Lord, that You love us. Thank us, Lord, that You warned us this morning. And Lord, I pray if there's any here that don't know You, perhaps they've been religious, but they're acting when it comes to being born again. They've never really given their lives to You. They don't know their sin is forgiven. They don't have that hope of heaven. Lord, they're not going to find peace and joy in religion. What they need is a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray if there's any that have not yet made that step today, that they would not walk out of these doors, Lord, hypocrites, living a lie. Lord, may they live and have the eternal life that You've offered through Your Son. And we'll give You the thanks for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.